If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, trusting God for America. Psalm chapter 27, verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you today praying for our country, Lord. We're divided over so many things, at odds with each other over so many things. I pray just teach us this morning, Lord, how critical it is that we trust you and that we turn to you, Lord, so that this nation can continue in a path, Lord, that you want it to. Help us, Lord, to trust you today and teach us how. Pray you'd come to us now by the power of the Holy Spirit and open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Got this letter just last Tuesday. Pastor Garner, I was glad to hear your series on revival under Hezekiah. But after the election, I finally had it. I'm putting my house up for sale, getting out of communist Illinois, and turning my back on the world. People in this country want socialism, and there's no convincing them otherwise. So there's nothing to fight for anymore. So thank you for your church's ministry, but I'm dropping out. And I'll just focus on having as much fun as I can before everything totally collapses. And how many of us Christians sitting in this church right now, listen to this message, feel pretty much the same way? We've been praying for revival here for a coon's age. We did the 10 days of prayer through the High Holy Days. We did the gathering and the prayer march in Washington, D.C. with Jonathan Kahn and Franklin Graham. Had our own gathering in local parks. Did a whole series on revival, started special prayer times for revival and for the election, but now it seems like Donald Trump is losing the election and America is still as spiritually dead as a doornail. And we feel like saying, God, that's it. I've had it. Lord, stick a fork in me. I'm done. Christians, what do we do? What do we do when everything seems so impossible? I'll tell you what we do. We trust in the Lord. And the text we have in front of us this morning tells us how. Psalm chapter 27, David is being attacked on every side by all kinds of enemies. In our text today, he realizes the best thing he can possibly do is trust in God. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today, when everything looks so bad for our faith and our country and our freedom, the best thing we can possibly do is trust in the Lord too. Our text this morning, Psalm 27, verse 14, tells us three things that we need to do to trust in God so we don't freak out when our nation needs us Christians more than ever before. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do in order to trust in God, we can't lose heart. Which is exactly what a lot of us Christians are being tempted to do right now, aren't we? And other believers are trying to tell us things to cheer us up, like, God is still on the throne and God is still sovereign. I know that. But God's sovereignty also means God allows people and entire nations to make mistakes, even with an election. Well, Kevin, if Joe Biden really won, then it happened, so it must be God's will. Well, how do you know that? Last week we found out that Justin Bieber's pastor, Carl Lentz, Hillsong Church, New York City, had to step down because he cheated on his wife. Now, that happened too. But does that mean that that adultery was God's will? Absolutely not. Same thing with elections. Kevin, I just want to go home, pull up the drawbridge, spend the rest of my life watching Gunsmoke on MeTV, and the rest of the world can go straight to hell. But Christians, listen to me. We can't do that. Because God hasn't called us to do that. Because judgment day is coming and gazillions of people aren't ready. Remember your calling and don't lose heart. Don't lose heart over the coronavirus. Media telling us that COVID is exploding all over America. And again, not one word from the media about how the hospitalization rate and the death rate just keeps getting lower and lower. Last election day morning, the CDC came out and said, hey, it's okay to go vote in person after all. What? I thought COVID-19 was airborne Ebola and that voting in person would kill you off for sure. Then why did 80 million people vote by mail-in ballots? Well, you know why. Last Monday, Pfizer announces that their COVID vaccine is 90% effective. Why did they wait a week after the election to announce that good news? Because Big Pharma's in the tank for Joe Biden. Can't give Donald Trump any credit. All during the campaign, Joe Biden promised us over and over again he had a plan to deal with COVID once and for all. And he finally revealed it. You know what it is? Are you ready? Wear a mask. Are you kidding me? 94% of Americans are already wearing masks. And the CDC says 85% of people who get COVID got infected while they were wearing a mask. England, Germany, Spain, France, Italy, COVID cases going through the roof. They're masked up like the Lone Ranger too. And why? Because wearing a mask and social distancing does not make the coronavirus go away. We're destroying our country, we're destroying our economy, we're destroying our jobs and our churches, a whole generation of kids without school. And that's what they've got? Wear a mask? But don't lose heart. Don't lose heart over all the sanctimonious Christians who tell us that Donald Trump is the Antichrist and who did everything they possibly could to campaign against him. John Piper says, we Christians destroyed our Christian witness to unbelievers by supporting Donald Trump. So now that Joe Biden has declared himself the winner, this Sunday, thousands and thousands of unbelievers are going to flock to John Piper's church and say, hey, you didn't support Donald Trump. I bet Christianity is true, and Jesus is the Son of God, and He died on the cross for my sins, and I need to get saved. No, of course that's not going to happen. And you know why? Because unbelievers already think us Christians are crazy just for being Christians. So what did all the Trump bashing accomplish? Then there's groups like A Very Common Good. And get this, pro-life evangelicals for Biden. Even though Donald Trump was the most pro-life president in the history of this country. And what would Joe Biden do with abortion? He would end all ultrasound legislation, end all bans on abortion after 20 weeks, end all bans on state funding for abortion facilities, eliminate waiting periods before abortions can be performed, eliminate all parental consent restrictions for minors getting abortions, eliminate all care for infants born alive after failed abortions. I could go on and on. Those are good things, John Piper. Remember pro-life activist David DeLaden? Who videotaped Planned Parenthood workers illegally selling aborted baby body parts? Well, last January, David DeLaden was convicted of causing substantial harm to Planned Parenthood and fined $875,000. Notice, Planned Parenthood wasn't convicted of any criminal charges. They just convicted David DeLaden for exposing it. And do you know who the prosecutor was in that case in California? Kamala Harris. Which tells you exactly what she thinks about innocent unborn babies. But see, it's a lot better to have Kamala Harris in the White House than Donald Trump, because that's what Jesus would want. What a pathetic joke, John Piper. Because too many Christians don't realize, you don't vote for Donald Trump, Joe Biden is going to be president. A 78-year-old man who is not physically or mentally capable of doing the job. During the campaign, Joe Biden did not hide in his basement because of COVID. He hid in his basement because, sadly enough, he has onset dementia and can't put in a full day's work. 60% of Americans don't believe he will finish a four-year term. And last Monday, if you asked Siri what the president's birthday was, it gave you Kamala Harris's birthday. See what's coming? And I know exactly what Joe Biden's going to do. He's going to make us less free, less safe, and less prosperous, because Joe Biden is a liberal, and liberalism destroys everything that it touches. And I wasn't, too, when Joe Biden and Barack Obama was in the White House. I remember 2008 to 2016. I remember when gas was $4.29 a gallon and the economy was a quagmire and Biden and Obama went all over the world apologizing to our enemies and let ISIS take over the Middle East and let Iran nuke up so they could destroy Israel. Does anybody know that President Donald Trump was nominated for 4 Nobel Peace Prizes for his work in the Middle East? Did you know that? Because the media said barely a word. And if Joe Biden gets in, he'll just blow up the Middle East all over again. And remember all of those terrorist attacks? Muslim terrorist attacks that happened on Joe Biden's watch? The Muslim terrorist attacks that never once happened on Donald Trump's watch in 4 years? Well, get ready. But Christians, listen to me. Don't lose heart. Because no matter what the enemy does, God can still use you to do all kinds of great things. 16-year-old Emily Chaney is a born-again Christian and sophomore at Eastridge High School in Pikeville, Kentucky. And last year, she and her Christian friends were trying to figure out a way to reach other kids in their school for Christ and help them with their problems. So October 2019, Emily Chaney turned her locker into a prayer locker. It was a plastic cup with some pens and some slips of paper so kids could leave anonymous prayer requests. And then Emily and her Christian friends would pray for those requests every day after school. They were getting 9 to 10 requests a day. All the students loved it, and all the teachers and administrators thought it was a fantastic idea. Everybody except People United for the Separation of Church and State. So last January, they filed a lawsuit against that school demanding that the superintendent put the kibosh in all the praying because they said it was unconstitutional, which is absolutely ridiculous. It was totally constitutional because the prayer was all student-led. But in spite of that, the superintendent still made Emily take that locker down. Gutless officials. But here's the kicker. Other Christians in Pikeville heard about it, and they started a campaign called Pray Anyway. The heck with what the honchos say, pray anyway. And that's exactly what Emily did. Because Emily Chaney already had such a great reputation for being a prayer warrior in that school, and because that high school is still meeting for in-person classes, all kinds of students in that school are coming up to Emily in the hallways and handing her prayer requests. And now that she can put the request with a name and a face, she can do follow-up and lead those students to Christ. So right now, Emily and her Christian friends are praying for more kids and leading more kids to Jesus than they ever did before. So there. And not only that, President Donald Trump heard about it. And last January the 16th, in honor of National Religious Freedom Day, he invited Emily, along with 5 other students from all across the United States, to come to the White House and talk about students' First Amendment rights. And President Trump, after that, announced that he would withhold federal funding from any school that tried to violate any student's right to religious expression. Touché. Christians, listen to me. Don't lose heart. I don't care what the enemy does. I don't care what the honchos say. Pray anyway. Serve anyway. Witness anyway. And God will be with you and protect you and give you everything you need to fulfill your calling in Christ. The first thing we need to do to trust in God, take heart. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to trust in God. We not only need to take heart, we also need to be strong. Verse 14 here says, be strong, which means don't just keep yourself from tossing your cookies. Do something. Do something about this election because it stinks to high heaven. Last Tuesday night, November the 3rd, President Donald Trump was on his way to a landslide victory, up even 700,000 votes in Pennsylvania. But then 10:47 p.m., key battleground states like Michigan, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Pennsylvania all mysteriously decided at the same time to stop counting. Then in the middle of the night in metro Milwaukee, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Atlanta, the Tooth Fairy backed up pickup trucks with hundreds and hundreds of thousands of mail-in ballots for Donald Trump, for Joe Biden. So first thing next morning, Donald Trump was losing. So if the Chicago Bears are trailing the Minnesota Vikings in the fourth quarter tomorrow night at Soldier Field on Monday Night Football, all the Bears have to do is stop the game and start counting more points until they win. That's how it's done, right? You say, but Kevin, the Democrats said ahead of time that Trump would win big on election night. But most of the mail-in ballots would be for Joe Biden. And when the mail-in ballots came in, Joe Biden would win. And that's exactly what happened. Yeah, but there's all kinds of funny things about this election that just don't add up. President Trump got 15% of the black vote and 31% of the Latino vote, which are landslide numbers, and still lost. Outside of California, Joe Biden underperformed Hillary Clinton's total votes all across the country except in Metro, Milwaukee, Detroit, Atlanta, and Philadelphia. Voter participation in Wisconsin was over 95% when the previous high was only 67%. President Trump got 43% of the vote in New York but lost Georgia. That doesn't make any sense. And there's also all kinds of illegalities and fraud that happened in this election. Republican poll watchers were not allowed to observe the counting process. Poll watchers kept behind barriers more than 60 feet away. Vote counters covering windows so poll watchers couldn't observe. Republican poll watchers told to go home because counting was being stopped, but then the counting continued without them. Democrat voters allowed to correct their ballots. Late ballots backdated so they could be counted. Dominion, hammer, and scorecard counting systems that shifted votes from President Trump to Joe Biden. 450,000 ballots in Pennsylvania only had Biden on them with no other vote for any other candidate in any other race. 23,000 ballots arrived in Philadelphia the day after the election, all of them for Joe Biden, which is a statistical impossibility. I could go on and on. On and on. See the video? This is a woman who's supposed to be counting votes in a precinct in Philadelphia. She's not counting. She's filling out ballots. Folks, that's illegal. Absolutely illegal. Okay. And the media just says over and over and over again, where's the evidence for fraud? Where's the evidence for fraud? Where's the evidence for fraud? Are you kidding me? It's like asking Tony La Russa if he's been drinking. It's obvious. And the biggest fraud of all is the whole mail-in ballot election process. And President Trump predicted this last summer already. He said this, there is no way that mail-in ballots will be anything but substantially fraudulent. Ballots will be forged and illegally printed and signed. This will be the most corrupt election in American history. That's why the European Union banned mail-in ballot elections decades ago, because they're the ones most susceptible to fraud, fake ballots, and massive, massive ballot harvesting. And yet the Associated Press says all of President Trump's claims, just unsubstantiated conspiracy theory. Nothing to see here. But folks, fraud is exactly what we see here. Last February, the left started pushing and hyping the danger of the coronavirus pandemic. Then they started pushing for mail-in ballot elections. Then they went to every state that Hillary Clinton either lost or barely won in 2016, filed over 160 different lawsuits in liberal courts with liberal judges to change election law to strip away every safeguard and every legal protection for mail-in ballots. So, no photo ID required. No driver's license or proof of identity at all required. No proof of residence or address required. No signature necessary. No witness signature necessary. Ballot doesn't have to be returned in the official envelope. Envelope doesn't have to be postmarked for the day it was mailed. Ballot can be filled in and returned after the deadline. Voting rolls don't have to be updated to eliminate voters who have previously died or moved out of the state. And you tell me, why would you want to take away these guidelines if you didn't want to cheat? Why? No verifiability whatsoever. So millions and millions and millions of ballots were just mailed out, totally unsolicited. People did not have to prove who they were. They didn't have to prove where they were or even if they were legally eligible to vote at all. 1.1 million stimulus checks got sent this year in America to people who were dead. And I wonder how many of those same people got a ballot. Some people who voted in Pennsylvania died during the War of 1812. Figure that out. Folks, I've never believed in zombies before, but I guess I do now because last Tuesday, November the 3rd, 21,000 walking dead in Pennsylvania rose from the grave and voted for Joe Biden. The fix was already in before the election even started. You say, well, Kevin, well, how in the world could people cheat during an election? Listen, if you were told for 4 years that Donald Trump was Adolf Hitler, and if you've got no qualms about killing an unborn baby, why would you have any qualms about stealing an election? And the New York Times says over and over and over again, election officials nationwide find no fraud. There's no fraud. There's no fraud. That's because it's hiding in plain sight. The fraud was baked in the voting and the counting system. Remember Vladimir Lenin's famous quote? What matters is not who votes. What matters is who counts the votes. Bingo. The Grinch that stole the election. And I know somebody's hearing this saying, Kevin, you're just a sore loser. No. I'm a Cubs and a Vikings fan. I'm used to losing. But this ain't a game. This is about the country. And Proverbs chapter 11, verse 1, God hates corruption. If Joe Biden honestly, really, legally won this election, then show me the proof. I'll accept it, and I will encourage everybody else to do the same. But I have a constitutional right to demand that proof. And if the left has nothing to hide, why are they trying to hide it? I just want to follow the Constitution. And I know there's somebody saying, but Kevin, you had to make allowance for the COVID pandemic. People had to vote by mail-in ballot. Yeah, but COVID, the pandemic, maybe was just throw away the law altogether. Cops stopped you for going 75 and a 25, and you look at him and you say, well, it's the pandemic. And he goes, oh, okay, have a nice day. No. All kinds of states followed the legal constitutional guidelines for mail-in ballots. No problem at all. So it can be done. But other states didn't. Some states stopped counting. Other states didn't. Some states extended the deadline for counting ballots after the election day. Other states didn't. Some states' election boards let people come back in and fix their ballot if they thought that they made a mistake. Other states didn't. And listen, none of that stuff is legal because it all violates the clause, equal protection under the law, which says there cannot be different standards for people's votes. When I voted on election day over at the Miller Township building, I had to show an ID, I had to confirm my address, and provide a signature. But millions and millions and millions of other Americans on election day did not have to do that. That's unconstitutional. Last month, the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court, not the Pennsylvania State Legislature, the Pennsylvania State Supreme Court extended the deadline in Pennsylvania to count ballots 3 days after the election. That's unconstitutional because judges cannot make law. So the United States Supreme Court, if the Constitution still means anything at all, especially Article 2, has to nullify all the votes that came into Pennsylvania after 8 p.m. on election night. And if they don't, the left is just going to keep doing mail-in ballots for every election, and the fraud is just going to get worse and worse. Do something. Do something by turning off the media. Because the media today is not about reporting news. It's all about manufacturing propaganda for the left. The problem with the media today is not election fraud. The problem they see it is people trying to expose it. You post anything on Facebook right now about fraud in this election, the Facebook overlords will fact check you with this statement. Election officials have confirmed fraud has never affected any of the votes in this election. That's a lie. Reuters poll shows 36% of Democrats in America before the election did not know anything about the Hunter Biden scandal. Hunter Biden's laptop computer that proves that Joe Biden was on the take for millions and millions of dollars from all kinds of sleazy people in Russia, Ukraine, and China. And 4.6% of Democrats said if they had known that before the election, they'd have never voted for Joe Biden, which means Donald Trump wins this election in a landslide. The left and the media spent 4 years printing encyclopedias about Donald Trump's fake Russian collusion, not one single word about Joe Biden's real Russian collusion. Mission accomplished, media. Mission accomplished. And don't tell me that this country isn't going to pay for it. Do something. Call congressmen in other states and tell them not to certify bogus results of this election. Go to a mega million rally for Donald Trump. Go to an anti-lockdown rally somewhere in Illinois. My wife Susan texted the United States Supreme Court and told them to do their job and defend the Constitution. Get off of Facebook and go to Parler or MeWe or WeWe all the way home, whatever it is, where they don't spy on you. But most importantly, more than anything else, pray. Pray like you've never prayed before. Pray for the pulling down of strongholds. Pray like this country depends on it, because it does. Stand up and fight for America, and don't ever, 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 ever give up. Like him. Middle of 1776, during the Revolutionary War, the American colonies were hanging on by their toenails, just trying to start a Continental Navy and the U.S. Marine Corps. And because they were up against the British, the most powerful navy in the world that ruled the seven seas, they knew they needed commanders that had lots of guts. So they commissioned John Paul Jones, who had been born in Scotland but moved to Virginia because he wanted to fight the British. And even though he was only 5'6" tall, even shorter than me, he was a born-again Christian, loved the Lord with all of his heart, had captained ships since he was 21 years old, and was absolutely fearless in battle. You need a shark? Get a great white. That was him. 1777, he took command of the 42-gun Bonhomme Richard that had been gifted to America by France. But instead of playing it safe and just patrolling the waters off the continental east coast, he took four other American ships, almost the entire U.S. Navy at that time, and sailed to England. And for the next 2 years, gave the British all kinds of grief, attacking British merchant ships and shipping lanes in the North Sea. Talk about taking the fight to the enemy. September 23rd, 1779, John Paul Jones met a convoy off the coast of England, a convoy of British merchant ships, escorted by two warships, the Serapis and the Countess of Scarborough. And when those warships saw John Paul Jones, they fell back to take him on. So John Paul Jones sent the other four ships after the Countess of Scarborough. They started firing on her. But instead of him taking any evasive action at all, he told his Marines to climb up in the rigging, ordered the Bonhomme Richard full steam ahead, and purposely slammed his ship into the stern of the Serapis, locking the bowsprits and the mizzenmast together so the Serapis couldn't get away, and with those ships so close the cannon were scraping against each other, opened up with every single gun that he had. Holy cow, people! Talk about being bold! Talk about going for broke! But the Serapis had more firepower. So when the Bonhomme Richard was shot full of holes and sink, and the British commander yelled over to John Paul Jones, "Are you ready to strike your colors? In other words, are you ready to surrender?" John Paul Jones says, "I may sink, but I'll be danged if I strike." Then the captain yelled at him again, "Will you surrender?" And John Paul Jones said those famous words, "Surrender, I have not yet begun to fight." Then his Marines and the rigging opened up with grenades and musket balls. So much fire, the powder monkeys on the Serapis couldn't get those 18-pound bags of gunpowder to the British soldiers who were firing the cannon. So they just threw them on top of the deck. So the Marines just lobbed grenades on those bags of gunpowder. The explosions killed dozens and dozens of British soldiers and blew away most of the gun deck. Then after another 3 hours of absolutely vicious hand-to-hand fighting, instead of John Paul Jones surrendering to the Serapis surrendered to John Paul Jones. The Bonhomme Richard sank. Jones and his crew commandeered the Serapis. The Countess of Saratoga, Scarborough, surrendered to all of other John Paul Jones' ships. The U.S. Navy was saved, and they put the bite on the British supply lines for the rest of the Revolutionary War. And today, the body of John Paul Jones, father of the U.S. Navy, lies in glory in a special crypt at the U.S. Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland, guarded by soldiers 24/7. And Christians, what's the lesson for us? I don't care how many enemies are out there. I don't care how outnumbered we may be. I don't care what the odds are. I don't care how desperate or hopeless the situation may seem. We don't quit, give up, walk away, or surrender because we have not yet begun to fight. Don't just pray for your country, fight for your country. Be bold, be strong. For the battle is the Lord's, and He will deliver the enemy into our hands. The second thing we need to do to trust in God, we need to be strong. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to trust in the Lord. We not only need to take heart, we not only need to be strong, but third, we just need to wait on God. Verse 14, wait on the Lord and trust Him that He will do what He's promised to do. Because let me ask you, who are we supposed to trust right now? The American people? Last November the 3rd, Americans in Oregon voted to legalize heroin, cocaine, and crystal meth as recreational drugs. Are they crazy? So much for trust. We trust the Supreme Court. Last month, the Pennsylvania state legislature asked the Supreme Court to step in and stop the very mess that is going on in Pennsylvania right now before it even got started. But Chief Justice John Roberts refused to take the case because he's a never-Trumper. Last Saturday, November the 7th, after he declared victory, Joe Biden said this, "I will keep the faith that you have placed in me." I never placed any faith in Joe Biden because Joe Biden was behind the whole Russian collusion scandal to try to get Donald Trump out of the White House. And by the way, I don't trust the Justice Department either because all the other people behind that Russian collusion hoax, like Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and James Comey, are still walking around free and signing book deals and yucking it up on The View. But their day will come. Because God is not mocked, and we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and there is nothing hidden that will not be made known. So either in this life or the next, everything is going to come out in the wash. We can trust God. And because of that, we have hope. We have hope because God did bring all kinds of good things out of this election. There was no blue wave, like so many people predicted. Meaning all the riots, all the protests, all the tearing down of the statues, all the claptrap about defunding the police, all the race baiters like LeBron James lost. Because America is not a systemically racist country like we said it wasn't all along. And the radical left is not the majority here. There are still 73 million in America who have not bowed the knee to the Baal of Marxism. You say, but Kevin, Donald Trump didn't get reelected. How do you know that? Well, Kevin, the Associated Press says only 3% of Americans think Donald Trump can still win. 92% of Americans think the election is over. Listen, it doesn't matter what people think. The only thing that matters is what God thinks. And ain't nothing over till God says it's over. And our ultimate hope is not in Donald Trump getting reelected anyway. Our ultimate hope is in Jesus Christ, who doesn't have to get reelected because He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus never has to run for office because He already has the highest office there is. He's God, for crying out loud. And nobody is ever going to run against Him because He's got the name that is above every name. And He will never be impeached because His kingdom will last forever and ever. Our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who can call things that are not as though they were and can do exceedingly abundantly beyond anything we ask or imagine. We hope in the Lord. And boy, do we need that hope right now. Because America has never been more divided than it is right now. And the left just keeps telling us over and over again, let's just come together. Let's just come together. And my question is, around what? Well, you just need to accept the results of this election. First of all, this election isn't over because Joy Behar and CNN don't decide who our presidents are. And secondly, I'm not going to be quick to accept the results of this election when the left spent 4 years trying to deny the results of the 2016 election. They were talking about impeaching Donald Trump before he was even inaugurated. And calling him Hitler and a Russian spy, a 4-year-long coup attempt to destroy his presidency. Well, we just need to support Joe Biden. Support him in what? Destroying the country? This is what Joe Biden said last August at a campaign event. I realize freedom of religion is a cherished right in America, but for the good of all, here it comes, it now has to be sacrificed to accommodate the rights of the LGBTQ community. So much for religious freedom. Joe Biden called us conservative Christians chumps and ugly people. Michelle Obama said this, "Let's remember tens of millions of Americans voted for the status quo even when it meant supporting lies, hate, chaos, and division." In other words, 73 million Americans who supported Donald Trump are racist and enemies of the state. Katie Hobbs, the Secretary of State of Arizona, said all Christian conservatives are neo-Nazis. They hate us, they hate this country, and they hate freedom. So you tell me, how in the world are we supposed to unify with that? Because to them, unity means we shut up and toe the line. Okay, here's my Bible. Here's my faith and all my Christian convictions. Here's all my God-given constitutional rights and my guns. Just take them. I surrender. No, not me, not now, not ever. Where are the Patrick Henrys today that say, give me liberty or give me death? In case anybody doesn't realize it, what this election really proved, there really are two Americas. There's the people on the right who love this country and want to follow the rules and preserve it. And then there's people on the left who hate this country and want to change the rules and the entire system and replace it with godless socialism that our founding fathers never intended. And how do they plan on doing that? First of all, by getting control of the Senate. Then you turn Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico into two new states, so you have four more liberal senators and a majority in Congress. Then they want to add four more liberal judges to the Supreme Court, so the liberals on the Supreme Court can override the conservative influence and turn the Supreme Court into a rubber stamp for everything that the left wants to do. And then they want to flood America with millions and millions of illegal aliens and then make them citizens so they can have a permanent voting bloc to keep themselves in power. And us Christian conservatives become chopped liver, totally irrelevant, a permanent underclass with no chance, no opportunity, no power whatsoever to change anything or get this country back. And last election night, they came this close to getting all of it. And right now, it all comes down to two Senate runoff elections in the state of Georgia this coming January. And how do I know that? Because Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said this, "We take Georgia and we will change the country." And right now, the liberals are pouring people into that state who are going to become temporary citizens just so they can vote in that election. So what assurance do we have that that election is going to be honest either? And folks, if they do take the Senate, if they win those two Senate seats and gain control, it's game over. Before this, the left controlled absolutely everything except the outcome of elections. But now, through mail-in ballots, they've discovered a way to guarantee they'll never lose another election. But there's some liberals listening to the sermon right now. You need to hear this. You are playing with fire. Because right now, no matter who becomes the next president, America is teetering on the precipice. Because there are four things that are absolutely necessary for a constitutional republic to exist. God, a constitution that everybody follows, unbiased media, and honest elections. And right now, America doesn't seem to have any of those things. Faith in the system matters, folks. And right now, half the country, 73 million Americans, do not trust the election process at all. And the left doesn't care. America will never survive that, people. So if we don't let this totally legal constitutional process of verifying the results of this election to play out, if we don't get on the same page when it comes to the rules and honesty, and most importantly, if all of us don't repent and cry out to God with all of our hearts, then the greatest, most powerful nation in the history of the world is over. And how do I know that? Next slide. In 63 A.D., when the Romans conquered the nation of Israel, the Jewish people never got over it and constantly rebelled against the Romans with all kinds of uprisings and revolts and assassinations of Roman officials. Until 67 A.D., when the Romans decided they had sick of it and decided to clean house there once and for all. So starting in Galilee and working south, Emperor Vespasian and the Roman legions, the most powerful army on the face of the earth, started a scorched earth campaign, turning hundreds and hundreds of Jewish towns into piles of rubble. and slaughtering and crucifying Jews by the hundreds of thousands. And those they didn't kill, they sold into slavery or threw to the lions in the arena. No mercy, no quarter. By 70 AD, the Roman legions had destroyed the entire eastern Israeli coast. They destroyed the city of Joppa. They destroyed the city of Jericho and set their sights on Jerusalem. And they purposely waited till after Passover started, before they started their siege of Jerusalem and cut off all the supply lines, so there'd be even more Jews in the city that needed food. And all God's people needed to do was cry out to Him and get right with Him and repent and turn to Him. And He would have delivered them from that enemy, just like He did for Jehoshaphat, just like He did for Hezekiah. But the people would not do it, because even though the most powerful army on the face of the earth was right outside their walls, they fell into civil war and split into three different factions under John of Giscala and Simon Ben-Gurion and also Eleazar Ben-Suri. Instead of recognizing the Romans as the enemy and fighting against them, they fought against each other as the enemy. And they argued about who controlled the temple and who was going to be high priest and what kind of money they were going to use. They slaughtered each other's followers by the thousands. For the love of God, people, the Romans were at the gates. And they had enough food to last an entire year, but they burned and destroyed each other's food supplies. And when starvation set in, all those prophecies in Leviticus and Deuteronomy came true about parents killing and eating their own children. Can you imagine what kind of hell that was like? Spring of 70 AD, Vespasian's son Titus and 80,000 Roman soldiers just kept tightening the noose. Late May, they broke through the third wall of the city of Jerusalem and slaughtered all the Jews in that part of the city. 5 days later, they broke through the second wall, which meant they controlled half of the city of Jerusalem. Then they built another siege wall around the inner city to make sure no Jews escaped and to starve them out even more. And again, even at that point, if God's people would have just cried out to Him and trusted Him to deliver them, He would have done it. But they didn't do it. Because by that time, the Jews were killing each other over scraps of food. And they were murdering and cutting each other open and disemboweling each other because they thought they were swallowing and hiding gold coins. Hundreds and hundreds of thousands died of starvation. And the Jews who did escape were captured by the Romans and crucified. So many crucifixions, the Romans ran out of wood for making crosses. By the end of July, the fortress Antonia fell. August the 6th, all the sacrifices at the temple stopped. August the 9th, the temple, Herod's temple, one of the seven ancient wonders of the world, was totally destroyed by the Romans on the exact same day that the Babylonians had destroyed the temple 600 years earlier. By September, the entire city was in ruins. So many dead Jews, Josephus said you could literally walk through the city of Jerusalem on top of dead bodies without your feet ever touching the ground. Over 1 million Jews killed, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands taken into captivity and sold as slaves. Because the unthinkable happened. The judgment of God fell. The house of God and the city of God were destroyed. And why? Very simply, because God's people did not turn to Him and cry out to Him and repent and get right with Him and trust Him to deliver them. They just fought each other. And my fellow Americans, we better take a lesson. Because if that can happen to God's chosen people, it can sure enough happen to us, the American people. Meaning, if we don't all repent and turn to God and cry out to Him with all of our hearts for revival, if we don't get back to the Word of God and the biblical principles this nation was founded on and needs to survive, if we don't stop fighting with each other and start recognizing who the real enemy is and start fighting against him, then the unthinkable is going to happen here too. And the judgment of God is going to fall on this country. And the United States of America is going to be destroyed as well. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 33, when all these things come to pass, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. The picture you see on the screen, a bunch of Christians outside the place where votes were being counted, Maricopa County and Phoenix, Arizona. The day after, the state was called for Joe Biden on election night. Now, the media called them a mob. They weren't a mob. They were just praying. They were praying that Donald Trump would still win the election. They were praying that all the fraud would be exposed. Most importantly, they were praying for the survival of this country. Because those Christians knew something. They knew that if Christians pray for this country and God sends revival, we save it. But if believers don't pray for this country and God turns his back, we lose it. And look at those people. The state had already been called for Joe Biden. Everybody in the media says it's over. They're not giving up. And Christians, we're not going to give up either. We're not going to give up on this election. We're not going to give up on this country. And most importantly, we are not going to give up on the Lord. But Kevin, Joe Biden's already declared himself the winner. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. But courts very rarely ever overturn the results of an election. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. We are losing this country in our biblical foundations. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. Kevin, I don't see any revival happening. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. Why doesn't God do something? Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. And let's do that right now. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I just thank you, Lord, for this nation. I know, Lord, that you called us to special purposes. I thank you, Lord, that a lot of that has been fulfilled. We have been a light to the nations. We have sent the gospel all over the world. We have paid for mission work. We just confess, Lord, the many, many, many sins that this nation has committed, that we have committed. Lord, we cry out to you in that spirit of repentance, just like 2 Chronicles 7:14 calls for. We repent. We repent of the rebellion. We repent of the lying and the dishonesty. We repent of all the corruption. Repent of all the corruption that surrounded this. And Lord, this nation is divided. The only thing that can bring us together is Christ. Lord, we're going to continue to pray for revival in this land. We just ask for a healing. Lord, the healing is not going to come through Joe Biden. It's not going to come through Donald Trump. It can only come from you and your Holy Spirit. And I just ask, Lord, that that would start. Lord, you would sort out this whole mess when it comes to election. People that need to be reprimanded and punished would be punished. People that need to be cleared and exonerated would be exonerated. Lord, we're going to leave that in your hands. But most of all, we are trusting you for America. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.